Genesis 28, 10 through 16. Jacob left Beersheba and set out for Haran. When he reached a certain place, he stopped for the night because the sun had set. Taking one of the stones there, he put it under his head and lay down to sleep. He had a dream in which he saw a stairway resting on earth with its top reaching to heaven, and the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. There above it stood the Lord, and he said, I am the Lord, the God of your father Abraham and the God of Isaac. I will give you and your descendants the land on which you are lying. Your descendants will be like dust of the earth, and you will spread out to the west and to the east, to the north and to the south. All peoples on earth will be blessed through you and your offspring. I am with you and will watch over you wherever you go. And I will bring you back to this land. I will not leave you until I have done what I promised you. When Jacob awoke from his sleep, he thought, surely the Lord is in this place, and I was not aware of it.
Thank you, Hillary. That's our text for this morning. And I want to begin a new series, four parts. The title of the series is Visioneering for the Future. Visioneering the Future. I'm borrowing the word from Andy Stanley. He wrote a book by that title, Visioneering. And it may not be a word grammatically correct, but it communicates the future of we need to have a vision going forward. Now, the title of today's message is this, NHCCE's 2021 Vision. I wanna share some thoughts today about our vision going forward into the new year. Now, over the next few weeks, I'm gonna get down to a specific individual level of how to get a vision. We're gonna talk about how to grow it. And yet today I want to talk about the church's vision, first Sunday of 2021, of what I believe God would have us to focus on and lock onto. But let me give you a definition of vision. It's in your notes. Vision is this. It's a clear mental picture of a preferred future. When you and I have a vision of something, we have a clear mental picture of what we believe and would like the future to somehow be when we think of it going forward. I want to give you some examples of vision. Here's one. This is the arch in St. Louis. And the architect's name was Eero Saarinen. He was Finnish. It was built in 65. The arch is 640 feet wide and 640 feet high. Looks like an illusion, but basically it was built as a memorial to Thomas Jefferson for the gateway to the West and his initiative to push that forward. It started as a vision in the mind and the hearts of the people, and it became a reality. Here's a second example. This is a picture of an orphanage in southern India. Mother Teresa had a vision to help children. She had a passion to help the disenfranchised. And so this orphanage was once, first in her mind, she had a vision, a clear picture of what she wanted to do to help kids. Here's a third one. This is the Olive Branch Mission in Chicago. This is an interesting story. It's originated in 1867 by a group of women. It is the oldest mission in Chicago and the oldest mission in the United States. And it was started by Free Methodist women. Rachel Bradley provided sewing classes for the prostitutes on the streets as a way to get them into a better lifestyle. And over time, men became a part of it, and the mission still is ongoing today. It's over 150 years old, but here's what it was. It started as a vision, a mental picture to help people off the streets in Chicago. Well, as you think about your individual vision for your life, your family, your marriage, your future, the vision for the church, here's a couple verses. These are in your notes. Where there's no vision of the word of the Lord, excuse me, the people do whatever they want, But happy is he who keeps the law. In other words, vision centers around God's word. If you want to get clarity of your future, you get into the word of God and let it speak to your heart to paint the picture of your future. This is what the message says. If people can't see what God is doing, they stumble all over themselves. But that when they attend to what he reveals, they are most blessed. You want a vision for your future? Attend to what God reveals about you, what he wants to use you for going forward. That's where vision is incubated and somehow solidified, around the word of God. It's what he reveals to us. And when we attend to it, listen, that becomes the focus of our future. It's the mental picture. Here's a quote by Abraham Lincoln. I love this. It says, "Some single mind must be master, else there will be no agreement in anything." When you and I discern the mind of God, whether it's for your individual vision or the vision for the church, and we get the mind of God, can I tell you, we get clarity and unity and a sense of purpose and focus going forward. I love the video we watched a little earlier. It said 365 days of purpose. You know where we get that? We get that when we get the mind of God for our individual lives or the church. So Jacob has a dream. He's traveling through the country and he's sleeping out under the stars. He puts a stone under his head for the pillow. He goes to sleep and he has a dream. And this dream, he sees that there's a ladder from earth to heaven. And at the top of the ladder is God. And at the bottom is earth, and there's angels going up and down. And I'll have Allison put this up. It's a kind of a cartoonish picture, but it shows that there was a connection between him and God himself. And here's what God spoke to him. He said this. At the very end of this experience, he says to Jacob, he says, "I will not leave you until I have done what I promised you." Now, here's what he's saying. When he will not leave Jacob, he won't let go of his life. He's a part of his life until I accomplish what I've purposed for you to do. Do you realize God has purposed certain things for your life that he wants you to do? And when you get a hold of his mind, when you get a hold of his will and you attend to it, you respond to it, you adjust your life to it, you go after it with passion, you know what happens? God will not, he says, "I will be with you until what I have promised will come to pass." Well, I ask myself the question, what is it that God has promised to us as a church? I mean, what is it that we have discerned that he wants us to do, that he's assigned us to do, that he's this group of people with our talents, our abilities, what is it that he's called us to do and promised to us? I want to share some thoughts with you this morning. First Sunday of 2021, and in its simplest form, three simple points of what I believe God wants to do in us and through us in 2021. Let's get started. Number one, I want to talk about our mission. And our mission is this. It's all about people. Our mission is all about people. The Bible is a book in which it's all about people. It's like you and me, people that are broken, people that are hurting, and it's a story. Story after story of individuals' lives who are changed. Not only that, there's heaven and hell. There's heaven as a reward for those who believe. And it's a book about people. I want us to understand our church, our mission, is about people, period. And let me say this. It's not just totally about us. It's about the people that aren't here. The most effective churches God uses are churches full of people who are other-minded. They look beyond themselves and say, we exist for the purpose of helping other people who aren't here find something that we have. In Genesis 28:14, it's in your notes. Let's read this together. It's a promise that God gave to Jacob. Let's read it. Your descendants will be like the dust of the earth, and you will spread out to the west and to the east, to the north and to the south. So in this vision or dream that Jacob has, God says to Jacob, he says, listen, your descendants will be like the dust of the earth, and they will spread out. I want you to know that when we think about our mission as a church, we're about people, and I want you to circle two words, spread out. God wants us to spread out in 2021. What do I mean by that? It means that there's plenty of people out there to expand and influence and to spread out his kingdom through us. Now, our mission statement, it's in your notes, go bless the world with the love of Jesus Christ, everyone, every day, everywhere. We're always about people. And at the outset of this year, our mission is people-driven. Our Chinese proverb, it's in your notes. If your vision is for a year, plant wheat. If your vision is for 10 years, plant trees. If your vision is for a lifetime, plant people. We want to plant people. That because God loves people. I remember a conversation with a lady many years back. She used to come to the church. She's not here anymore. But when she got going on her spiritual journey, here's what she said. She had children, and she was married, and she says, you know, we did Easter and Christmas, but she said this, there was always something missing. You see, when we do life apart from God and we go through the routines of culture, without God at the center, there's always something missing. Some part of us, some piece that's incomplete. And I want us to understand, we have the answer to what's missing in people's lives. We have the message, we have the hope, we have the scriptures, we have the encouragement that whatever's missing in people's lives, we know how to fill it through what Christ has done for us. There's a verse in your notes. Let's read this together. Isaiah 60, 22. The least of you will become a thousand, the smallest a mighty nation. I am the Lord. In its time, I will do this swiftly. This is a promise that I claim and many people in our prayer times claim on Wednesday through the years. The least of you will become a thousand. What's that mean? I believe that God has called this body, this church, to grow to a thousand. Now, we've had that vision, the promise, for many years. You'll notice on the vision boards out in the foyer. You know, when we have three phases to our property, this is the first phase, this building. The second is the family center. The third is the church on the mountain. It'll be built to house or hold 1,000 people. We could have more than 1,000 when you do multiple services, but the least of you will become 1,000. I want you to think differently in 2021. God is calling us. I believe he's promised us that if we walk forward with him and we do our part, the least of us can grow to 1,000. His blessing is upon us. His calling is there. I want to show you a slide about some numbers of Delaware County. There's 48,000 people in Delaware County. There's approximately 103 churches when you add them all up. That's 466 people per church. The best I can estimate, there's about 36,000 or 75% of the people in Delaware County that are unchurched or dechurched. That's 3 out of 4 people. And the mission of the scriptures and the mission of our church, it's all about people. It's the people that aren't here. They're out there. You know what? There's something missing in their life. God says, I'm looking for a church, a group of people who I can use to share the message with other people, to spread out, to expand, to multiply in his kingdom. So point number one, understand our mission is always about people, and especially the people that aren't here. God is calling us to expand and to spread out in 2021 and bring others into his kingdom. Let's go to point number two. The second point is what I'm calling our vision. Our vision. And it's all about God blessing others through us. In other words, I want us to get a vision of God's purpose to bless others through us. Now, in this dream that Jacob had, notice in verse 28, verse 14, what it says. He says, all peoples on earth will be blessed through you and your offspring. He will take Jacob's life and his descendants, and he'll bless all the peoples of the earth through them. I want you to stop right there. I want you to understand something. God can bless the entire world through you. I mean, think about it. He did it with Jacob. He can do it with anyone. Your life story could bless the entire world. You know where you start? With your husband, your wife, your children, your parents. Every person you bump into, you can make their life better just by the virtue of your presence in their life. There's a wonderful text in Genesis chapter 39 about Joseph. And I've shared this before, but I bring an umbrella to illustrate this. Joseph was sold to slavery at age 17, and he didn't see his family again for 22 years. His 10 older brothers told dad that Joseph had died. It was a lie. It wasn't true. And for all those years, the father thought Joseph was dead. And Joseph bounced around about 13 years until he got promoted to be the number two person in Egypt. It's an amazing story. And he saved a nation from famine. But the point I want to make is this. He was at one point in Potiphar's house, who was an Egyptian, an unbeliever. But Joseph's lived such a life that the favor of God was all over it. And it says that God blessed the household of Potiphar because of who? Joseph. I call this the umbrella blessing. You see, wherever Joseph went, people got blessed. You know why? It wasn't because of them. It was because of Joseph's connection with God. Do you realize that wherever you go, starting in your home, where you work, wherever you travel to, people who come under your umbrella blessing can get blessed because of your life? You can make every person you ever bump into in life a better person. You have that kind of influence. That's what he did with Jacob. And he says, Jacob, I will take you and your descendants, and I will bless the entire world through you. I thought about the ministries of the church. You know, the backpack program that Cinnamon's heading up, and that's going on, and in-home meals with John and Heather, and the Blessings Committee, and Priscilla and her team, and the Christmas baskets, and Kathy, and the team. All these are people that are carrying around the umbrella. And they're just blessing other people because of their connection vertically. Now, I've listed other ministries in the church, the Young at Heart and the kids' ministries and soup and life groups and mission trips. And I've got to be honest, some of these are kind of on hold because of the pandemic. And at some point, we'll be able to restart them, or we're doing more things online and we're trying to figure things out. But I want you to get a hold of this principle. Your life in connection with God carries an umbrella blessing. Wherever you go, like Joseph, God will bless the other person just because of who you are in relation to him. And as a church, we carry an umbrella in the community. And God says, if you believe and embrace and follow me, the community can get blessed from a group of people that are listening to the mind and the heart of God. That's our mission, our vision for 2021. I want to tell you two projects we're moving toward this year. Here's the first one. It's letter B in your notes. It's the pavilion. As you know, we did the fundraiser over Christmas. We're about 20% there. We got about 20,000 out of 50,000. But here's the deal. We want this to be an umbrella blessing to the community. We'll use it, but so will the community. And God says, I will bless other people through you. That's part of the one project that I think we can happen next year. We have some seniors in our church this year, high school seniors, and their year's been dramatically altered. And I talked with Kevin about this, and Kevin's our point person. I would love to see this up like by the end of June, that we could have a baccalaureate service outside for the graduating class this year. A lot depends on the virus and what the regs are and rules, and you know, we don't know for sure, but wouldn't it be great to have the baccalaureate service on the basketball court outside and then have the reception underneath the pavilion? We'll see if it happens. A lot has to play out with the vaccine and so forth. But understand, the church carries an umbrella blessing to the community just as your individual life does. And then I want to talk about letter C going forward. This is the family center. The family center. We've talked about this for years. We prayed about it. We had the fundraising for the administrative fees or the architectural drawings, and then that's kind of been put on hold. We've got the money, but we're just waiting for the timing. But I want to share with the church family what I believe God's plan is for this church. And that is, I believe that this is a facility, a building that can bless the not only the village and the town, but the region. And the great promise is God says this, all the peoples on earth will be blessed through you and your offering and your offspring. In other words, if we truly get the hold of the mind of God and he says, I want this, I'll bring this to pass through you, it's a blessing for the other people. Let me just say that this building, the one we're planning, building number 2, is really not about us. It's about other people. And God's provision will be to bless us and to bless other people through it. And so the family center, it's a monumental challenge. But listen, when a group of people trust God for the impossible, that's who he works through. And so here's a verse that I've claimed, Ezra 6, 14 and 15. So the elders of the Jews, or the church family, continue to build and prosper. They finished building the temple or the family center according to the command of the God of Israel. You see, if God wants a group to do something, you got to go for it. If he doesn't, you don't want to go close to it. But the family center building is a place that could be a huge blessing to the community. And we just have to walk it forward with God and carry that sense of faith for him to provide going forward. You know, I think it's exciting. One of the most exciting things of life is when a group of people get on mission to change people's lives, but you have a vision to create things that don't exist for the sake of other people. And so as we think about going forward, as we think about the Family Center building, I want you to know I believe the time has come for us to push forward on it. Last Wednesday, Pat Reynolds on the prayer call quoted Herb Olver. Some of you may remember him, a former pastor of the church and a former superintendent. And she said, well, it's time to let the clutch out. It's time to let the clutch out. And what she was saying is it's time to get going on things. And so when we think about the pavilion and even the family center, it's time to let the clutch out and let God lead us. But I want you to know, you here today, you carry The umbrella blessing wherever you go. Well, point number three, and that's the final one, is this. Not only do we have a mission about people, our visions about God blessing others through us, number three, our responsibility, it's all about each of us doing our part, doing our part. Read with me Genesis 28:15 in your notes. I am with you and will watch over you wherever you go, and I will bring you back to this land. Here's what God says to Jacob. I'm with you. You know, if we translate that, what it means? God is with each of us. And what does that mean? We have to do our part in spreading out to reach more people. We're a voice in his kingdom. We have to do our part with the vision of how to serve kids and adults and senior citizens and buildings. Each of us need to do our part. God is with us. And the kernel thought here is this. Your greatest life's accomplishment is what you do in partnership with God himself. Your greatest accomplishment and achievement in life is what you do in partnership with God. Well, I'm going to go back to the original thought about what vision is as we started this message. Vision is a clear mental picture of a preferred future. And so I want us today to understand our mission is about people, our vision is God blessing others through us, and our responsible, it's all about doing our part to let God use us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we come on this first Sunday of January of 2021, and we come to celebrate the sacrament of your death and resurrection, we just pray you'll give each of us a clear mental picture of what you want for our future, individually and as well as a church family. Father, thank you for the privilege of serving, and we just seek to discern the mind of God going forward of how you can use a group of people in Walton, New York to advance your kingdom. And for this, we give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen.